impossible commands. And we'll get to these in just a little bit. Our text verse here in Exodus 14 is verse 13, wherein are three commands from God given through Moses to the people of Israel. These three commands are impossible for the natural man to obey. Impossible. 1 Corinthians 2:14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. The natural man Paul refers to is the natural man in all of us. This flesh, that is not regenerated, that's going to die and go back to the dust. It's that so-called free will. It is shut out from any spiritual discernment or understanding or will or desire. Romans 8:7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Apart from the overwhelming influence of the Spirit of God, these three commands are impossible. So here they are. The first one is the words, fear ye not. We're in verse 13. That's the first one. Fear ye not. The second is the words, stand still. And the third is the words, see the salvation of the Lord. So we look at these three things for a little bit this morning. The first command, fear ye not. And I say command because it's not a suggestion. It's a command. Someone has said about the Ten Commandments, they're not ten suggestions, they're ten commandments. So these are not suggestions, they're commands. And the first one is, fear ye not. The setting here is just after the Israelites have left Egypt, and they were clearly instructed of the Lord to come this way. In verse 2, they were instructed to take this route and encamp beside the sea. There was an easier path. There was, left to themselves, they wouldn't have been here. But the Lord instructed them deliberately to come here. So the Israelites are here encamped by the sea. And they're exactly where they're supposed to be, difficult as the situation is. They're hemmed in. Difficulties on every side. Mountains. The Red Sea in front of them. Pharaoh's army in hot pursuit behind them. They're in trouble. Where did they mess up? God couldn't possibly be in this, but he was. He's right in the middle of it. He arranged it. And that's a lesson we all need to learn, and we have learned, but we're awful forgetful. When the devil comes to you and says, if you were the person you ought to be, you wouldn't be having all the trouble you're having. But we know the devil's a liar. God's children are appointed trouble in this life. Not because he don't love us, but because he does love us. It's to humble us. It's to bring us to depend upon him, to lean on him, to cry to him for deliverance, as any child cries when it's hurting. That's God's design. That's God's purpose. So excuse me from anybody's idea of trouble-free Christianity. It don't exist. If it's trouble-free, Christ is not in it. It's not following Christ if it's trouble free. Excuse me from those who say, if you're having difficulty in the Christian life, you must be out of God's will. They're liars. All of them are liars. These folk were exactly where they were supposed to be, where God had instructed them to be, and they're in big trouble. Christ our Lord said clearly, in the world ye shall have tribulation. That's plain, isn't it? You'd rather listen to that TV smiling jerk that says, something good is going to happen to you today. Well, no, all hell might break loose. We don't need to listen to that garbage. We need to listen to what the Lord said. In the world, you shall. And I really emphasize that word shall lots of times. I've told you I love the shalls in the Bible. What it does, it removes all doubt. It's not maybe so, might be, wish it was. Whatever. When God says shall, you can mark it down. That's how it's going to be. Christ said, in the world you shall have tribulation. No question about it. He meant what he said. And I promise you this morning, all of God's children can say amen to that. There's a lot of good religious folks that can't say amen, but I promise you, every single one of God's sheep, God's sinful, shameful, sorrowing little sheep, can say amen to the words of our Lord, in the world you shall have tribulation. We've experienced a little of it. So these Israelites are exactly where they're supposed to be. The Lord instructed Moses to lead them exactly this way. It was a crisis created by God. And they're scared half to death with the circumstance they're in. And then they hear this impossible command, fear ye not. God is saying, I know you're staring death right in the face, but fear ye not. Don't be afraid. I thought of the several options here, which really were no options at all. Mountains they can't climb. A sea they can't cross. A pursuing army they can't fight. There are no options. They're helpless. Helpless. And as I meditated on this for the message today, I'll confess to you, I have been overwhelmed this week. I have spoken with more people with problems. People I know, people I love, people I care about, family, friends, brothers and sisters in the Lord. I've spoken with more this week with troubles than any week in my entire life. And the Lord has made me conscious of the heavy, heavy load that so many are under. And I am so thankful. I feel almost guilty that I have it as well as I do. But so many are facing things. You hear the job is going to end next week, and you're unemployed, and you're not so young anymore. And a good job's hard to come by. And while you're very fearful over that, you learn that your child is taking drugs. And while you're tore up over that, the doctor calls. And yes, it is cancer. And on the list goes. The heartache, the trouble. And then you come to church and put on a nice face and act like everything's all right. You've had a wonderful week. And the preacher gets up and opens God's Word and says to you, with all you're facing, that God says, even in your situation, don't be afraid. Fear ye not. And your mind says, that's easy for you to say. But you're not in my shoes. You're not facing what I'm facing. But I'll tell you something, these people were. There's no relief on any side. A lot of people say to you, look on the bright side. And I know you've done already looked on every side, and there is no bright side. And still God says, fear ye not. There is no way the natural man cannot be afraid. There is no way the flesh cannot be afraid. Many different times, in many different situations, the Lord says to His people, fear ye not. He never says it when you have no reason to fear. He always says it when you feel you have every reason to fear. Fear ye not. Somebody said there are 365 fear nots in the Bible. One for every day of the year. I don't know about that. I know there's a bunch of them. But one of my favorite verses for many years, many, many years, Isaiah 41:10 says, fear thou not, for I am with you. Why is it so hard for us to believe God is with us? Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. I'm not interested in being upheld in my righteousness. And you'd better junk that idea as well. You hadn't lived good enough. You hadn't done good enough. You're not good enough for God to give you the time of day. But He said, I will uphold thee in my righteousness. His righteousness. The right hand of my righteousness. Well, the right hand of His righteousness is His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is saying to His people, I will uphold thee in my Son. And that's really good news for sinful characters like you and I. This morning, before daylight, I was sitting in a certain place, drinking coffee and reading a little bit and studying and meditating. And a waitress came over and spoke to me and said, will you be going to church today? I said, I sure will. And she said, would you pray for me? And I said, I sure would. Her name is Wendy, spelled strange, W-I-N-D-E, Wendy. And I tore off a little corner of the sheet of paper I was looking at. And I wrote this down, Isaiah 41:10, the verse I just quoted you. And I said to her, you read that one verse, no more. Just read that one verse. Close your eyes and meditate on what it says. One statement at a time. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Oh my, how blessed, how blessed. Fear ye not. Now let's look at the second impossible command in the same verse, verse 13. First is fear ye not. Secondly, it says, stand still. That is, shut up. Be quiet. Don't move. Don't run. Don't whine. Stand still. I'm sure these Israelites felt like And so often we feel like, I've got to do something, even if it's wrong. Well, it will be. Most of the time. The hardest thing, the impossible thing, even though you know you can do nothing about the trouble, the hardest thing is to do nothing and wait on the Lord. He said, stand still. Be still. But this flesh of ours just won't do it and can't do it. There's something in us that springs us into action, puts us in gear. And there's something in us that says you really can't afford to trust God with this. This is too big. You can't afford to listen to God now. You've got to handle this yourself. God's only good when you're not in trouble. But you've got to take action. You can't trust Him with something this big. You've got to handle it. Does that sound familiar? Well, He has spoken two things impossible for you to do in the natural man. Fear ye not, and stand still. Then there's a third one in this same verse. See the salvation of the Lord. If you could have asked those Israelites at that moment, well, what do you see as the outcome here? Is there any salvation to be seen? They had said no, absolutely none. This is it for us. We're sure to be destroyed right here and right now. We cannot survive this. No way. They could not make themselves, fear not. They could not make themselves stand still. They could not make themselves see any salvation. And neither can you and I. In the energy of sinful flesh. But the secret is, these commands, it was a powerful word. It was an effectual word from God through Moses. I thank God this morning. I can say I've experienced this powerful word, this effectual word a few times in life. And looking back now, I promise you, it's nothing short of a miracle. And many of you have had crisis hours and can testify the same thing. Full of fear. Helpless. And feeling hopeless. And the grace of God carried me through. It's like Joe, it's like I was in a coma almost. Knowing I ought to be full of fear, but I wasn't. Knowing I ought to be doing something, but I didn't. Sure, there was no salvation to be had. I would never survive it. But we did. Look at verse 21. Continues in this story. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. And the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night. And made the sea dry land. And the waters were divided. The children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground. And the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. He makes a way when there is no way. The old song said, He turns the night to brightest day. But I'll tell you this, He won't do it without changing you. He won't do it and let you come out with still a rebellious heart and a proud heart saying, boy, I made it through that. No, no. Here's how he does it. He'll crush you. He'll bring you to acknowledge if it were just you, you wouldn't make it. And he'll bring you to testify that it's him who made the difference, not you. The last verse in this chapter 14 says, and the people feared the Lord. They reverenced the Lord. They honored the Lord in this that he'd done. Would that be you this morning? It says they believed the Lord. Not believed in him, but believed him. Would that be you? Going into chapter 15, they sing, the Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. Would that be your song? He is my God, and I will prepare him a habitation, a place for him to live in my heart. Would that be you? They used to sing an old song around this country. I thought of it the other day. Long before many of you were born. If anyone makes it, surely I will. That's a fool's religion. That's a fool's religion. Deception. Self-deception. I want to say the demands are too great. The commands are too hard. If anyone makes it, surely I will. But well, nobody's going to make it. There's never been but one made it. The Lord Jesus Christ. The righteousness required to live in the presence of God. None of us have in ourselves. These commands are impossible. You cannot, on your own, keep from being full of fear. You cannot stand still, and you cannot see the salvation of the Lord, except as the Spirit of God speaks effectually to your heart, points you to His Son, you embrace Him, and fear vanishes. He's taken your place on the cross. You stand still. You don't try and work your way to God. You stand still. And you sing, Jesus paid it all. We sing, it is enough that Jesus died and that he died for me. The work is finished. And in Christ our Redeemer this morning, we do see the salvation of the Lord. I'm not interested in seeing anybody else's version of salvation. I want to see, believe, and rest in the salvation of the Lord. Psalm 3 and 8, salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Jonah 2 and 9, salvation is of the Lord. Acts 11, 17, salvation is the gift of God. Let me conclude and say this. Maybe you this morning are one of those who hadn't had a lot of trouble in this life. You've done most things right. But you need to know this. If you don't think the storms of life somewhere along the way will be more than you can handle, you're wrong. You're wrong. Troubles, cares, burdens, sorrows will all close in on you one day. The pressures of life and the forces of hell will bring you to despair. And without Christ, you'll say, what's the use? And you'll quit. You'll give it up. Old preacher Joe Parson used to say, don't matter what you're going through, don't matter what you're facing, don't matter what the situation is. He said, if you just won't quit, God will work something out. That's helped me through the years. I've said a whole lot of things that don't make any sense. I know that. But my prayer is that somewhere along the way, God will put some little thought, just a word or two, just a sentence, just a thought in your heart that'll carry you. May not be for anybody else. May just be for you. And that you won't be able to let go of it while you live and breathe. Such was that statement of that old man to my heart in the early 70s. If you just won't quit, God will work something out. I've needed that somewhere around 1,000,000 times since then. God knows what He's doing. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the only way through here. So I want to say to you, dear friends, men, women, boys and girls, hear this. You'll only be able to bluff your way so far in this world. If you're God's child, He'll crush your heart and bring you weeping to bow at His feet. And if you're not God's child, your life may be wonderful and successful without a care, only to drop off into hell forever. And I want to say this morning, I'd rather walk the valley and feel His touch. I'd rather hear the wolves howl and hell accuse. If I can hear my shepherd's voice in the midst of it all, I'd rather be on the cross beside Him and represented in Him than to be part of the multitude of spectators mocking Him. And though these three commands are impossible to the natural man, even to the religious man, I'm glad, looking to Christ this morning, I can fear not. I can stand still. And I can see the salvation of the Lord. He's doing a good job. I'm making a mess of things, but He's doing a good job. Stand with me.